Right. I've got glasses. I've got paper. Okay, and I've got a timer, which I'll put on in a minute. There's famous last words. Right. This talk, so those that don't know me, I've been here for 25 years. I've been, basically my career has been working in the environment for that time. 20 years ago, when I did a similar talk to this, you would have to say, this is why the environment's important. I don't have to do that anymore. So what I'm going to do is just carry on the series you've had about encounters with Jesus, but this time have a look at the experience of creation encountering Jesus. So in the same way, if you sometimes watch films and listen to the director saying, the reason I filmed this landscape is because I wanted to make it a character in the film. In the same way, we're going to look at creation as a character in our story in the Bible. And after exploring how was creation's encounter with Jesus, we're going to look at our response for Eco Church. So first of all, I'm just going to pray. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your creation. Guide my words, and with the help of your Holy Spirit, show us what you want us to pray, think, and act on. Amen. Right, next slide. Half of you are going to love this, half of you are going to hate it. Just bear with me. So, if you do the next slide, that's it. So, I want you to turn to your neighbour, if you can do that, and just say, and have a quick chat. Can you think of some times in the Bible creation interacted with Jesus? I'm going to give you one. Water into wine. Jesus turned water into wine. That's how he interacted with creation. So have a chat with your neighbours. Can you think of any examples, other examples, Jesus interacted with creation? Okay, I'm just, this is basically how I can create my sermon from scratch. So, could people shout out a couple of examples? Storm, yep. Loads of fishes. Great. If I have struggles with that because I don't really like fish, so I don't think I'd mind giving my fish away and being multiplied. But anyway, loaves and fish, storm. Pigs, yep. Pigs being chased off with demons in them. We're looking at examples of Jesus, but that's an early example of Moses parting the Red Sea, absolutely. Yep. Keep going. Yes, catching fish. Yes. Yeah, he was there. Yep, cursing a fig tree. Walking on water. Miraculous healings, putting... Lazarus, another big catch of fish. He did several big catching of fish. Quite problematic if you're a fish. Yes. So. Winds. I'm not sure about the winds one, but we can talk. Anyway, if you look at the Bible and... Obviously, there's examples in the Old Testament that we're just trying to look at Jesus' encounter with creation. And there's lots of ways he interacts with creation. And actually, I'm going to mention some of those. Some of those being mentioned as well. So just a warm-up bit. So basically, creation does interact a lot with Jesus. We're talking about encounters with Jesus. Creation encounters Jesus a lot. He interacts with Jesus a lot. often we'd sometimes just focus on the human part of the story. We're focusing on creation's part of the story, creation's encounter of Jesus. So what is creation's experience of encountering Jesus? Next slide. I think Hazel gave this one away, and we've already had some scripture here. So the first experience of creation, encountering Jesus, is creation was the first to encounter Jesus. Not humans, creation encountered Jesus before we did. If you want to do next slide, there's various Bible readings there, some of which we've heard already this morning. But creation being made by and for Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Creation was made by and for Jesus. That is the purpose of creation. The creation was an amazing place, a garden full of different creatures and plants where Jesus, as part of God the Father and Holy Spirit, walked. Unfortunately, part of creation had messed things up for everyone else. Everyone was expecting it would be the cats, but it wasn't. It was the humans who decided to do their things their own way. As a result, creation was cursed and broken, and you've got a verse there from Genesis, cursed is the ground because of you. And the example here is like a cracked foundation affecting a house. Everything in creation became slightly not quite right. There was still beauty, but now famine, hardship, and cruelty. Humans carried on doing their own thing. Occasionally, some of them listen to God and seek to follow him. And despite this, despite creation being broken and hurting, creation still had a job to do, and that was pointing humans to God. So again, some of the references we've heard. It says in the Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God. There's the reading from Romans. God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made, so that people are without excuse. Creation's role is to point to God, is to point to Jesus. So we've got a broken creation, still doing its job, pointing towards Jesus. Creation at this stage probably got frustrated because it's pointing to Jesus, but sometimes humans missed the point and ended up worshipping creation rather than who creation was pointing to. And as the cats were quick to point out, sometimes humans are a bit embarrassing, missing the point. So creation pointing to Jesus, not to be worshipped itself. Okay, next slide. So another way creation encountered Jesus, creation waited the longest time to encounter Jesus again in another form. So after being the first to meet Jesus, creation had to wait a long time to meet Jesus again. This time the encounter would be different. Jesus was coming in the very form of creation that had let everyone down. He was coming in a human form. So creation responded by creating a star that marked where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Next slide. And some Bible verses here. So Jesus was born, then Jesus became an adult and he began his teaching ministry. And creation basically continued its role in pointing towards God. But this time, it was Jesus using everyday examples of creation to teach about the kingdom of God. Birds, lilies, sheep, farmers, seeds. Jesus used everyday examples of creation to talk about the kingdom of God, to point the way to a new way of being. And Jesus even taught humans a new prayer that contains the lines without a comma, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So, carry on the teaching. What happens next? We've already had the example here. Creation causes an earthquake that causes an exceptional storm in the Sea of Galilee. So apparently the original Greek in that bit is it's not about storm, it's about quaking. They were experienced fishermen, they wouldn't have been shaken by anything. This was probably an earthquake causing a huge, huge problem in the Sea of Galilee. It's interesting, we talk about this example of Jesus calming the storm as an example of calming storms in our lives, and yes, it can be used as an example, but really, it's Jesus showing he did not just make creation, it wasn't just for him, he was also the Lord of creation, being able to calm the storm. So, carry on in the story. Jesus enters Jerusalem, humans are arguing over whether to praise him or not. And creation's ready, saying, if you don't praise him, the stones are waiting to cry out to say, this is our saviour, this is our king. Then a bit further on in the story, on the saddest day, creation watched as Jesus was crucified. And creation responded with a lunar eclipse darkening the sky, an earthquake that split stones open, opened graves, caused people to temporarily come to life, and shook the temple in Jerusalem as Jesus died on the cross. For years afterwards, humans would just focus on the curtain in the temple being torn in two, rather than the whole blockbuster response of creation to the death of Jesus. How often do we talk about the other things on that day? We talk about the tearing of the cloth in the temple is important, but it's so much more going on. So, creation waited the longest time to encounter Jesus. What happened next? Next slide. Because, next slide, okay. Creation was the first to encounter Jesus. So 3 days after the saddest day, creation had another task. Directed by an angel, another earthquake was quiet, this time to remove the stone blocking Jesus' tomb. It was moved. This let human witnesses see the resurrected Jesus was not there. But creation witnessed the resurrection first, as Jesus walked in the garden around the tomb, tending to the plants. As a result, the humans that basically came to see him initially mistook him for a gardener. So creation experienced the resurrected Christ before we did. With Jesus resurrected, the curse on creation is lifted. The next slide. And I think we've, again, had some of this read out to us. It's really important to recognise when Jesus died on the cross, it's not just for us. It is for the whole of creation. Through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Things would never be the same again. Okay, next slide. So, because of an encounter with Jesus, creation is now a new creation waiting to be fully restored. So creation now waits with humans to be fully restored as a new creation. Creation itself, let's go to the next slide. Some lots of other Bible verses here, but I'll just read out a couple. Creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of children of God. And there will also be judgment. So in Revelation, not many people look at this verse, it says, the time has come for judging. And it talks about a whole range of judging and for destroying those who destroy the earth. So there is a new creation, restoration, but also judgment. And a fully restored creation will include restored relationships between humans, God, and creation. It will be so good that it will be on heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. And once more, God will choose to live with us. So I just read, it's a very well-known verse, but I'll just read out the bit from Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and be their God. So that, so far, so good. Now the difficult bit. Next slide. This is where we are now. Creation is finding waiting for this not yet kingdom very difficult. We know Jesus won the victory. We know we're in the process of being fully restored. We know how the story ends, but we're not there yet. And so we're in this, what phrase is called, the not yet kingdom. If we just go to the next slide. Romans says, we know the whole of creation has been groaning as if in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And I think a couple of things to point out here. If creation could speak, creation would be very keen to point out this verse is written by a man who has no idea how painful childbirth is. Okay? Another way of writing this could be, creation, full of hope and pain, screaming as if being rushed to the maternity hospital with the blue lights on, and a useless human saying, remember your breathing exercises, who is then replaced by Jesus, holding your hand and just being there for it all. So that's the place we find ourselves at the moment. We can see on the news, we can see things aren't right, we can see what we're doing to the planet, we can see how we're hurting each other, and yet we have to hold these two things at the same time. One, we are a new creation, Jesus has won the victory. Two, the kingdom's not there yet, and we have to hold these two things, hope and pain. But it's quite clear that we have a role about restoring creation. So that is part of our role. As Christians, we're asked to play our part in the kingdom of God. Part of that is restoring creation to the way that God wants it to be, finally. So if you just do the next slide. So this is the end of the theology bit, which basically says, in summary, this is how creation encountered Jesus. Creation met Jesus first, waited a long time to meet him again, was the first to meet the resurrected Jesus, and creation's now waiting again in hope and pain with us to be fully restored. So the next bit I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray a minute around this, and then we'll talk about our response. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your creation, the way you created it, sustained it, designed it to point to you, and have freed it from our past disobedience. Thank you we're part of your new creation. Give us hope and patience as we endure pain and waiting to be fully restored. Guide us with your Holy Spirit in the role you want us to play in restoring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So that's Jesus' encounter of creation. And then I'm just now just briefly going to talk about Eco Church as a response to how do we start restoring creation? What's our role in it? And it's very difficult to do this because you can look at the news and lots of things are going on. But God is just asking us, what are you doing? What can you do? I love the story about the fish and loaves because it's all about an impossible situation and someone just saying, do you know what? I can't feed 5,000, but I've got some fish and loaves. Here you are, Jesus, bless them. And that's where we are. We're saying, we haven't got loads of stuff. This is what we've got, a building, a community, some grounds. What can we do to play our part in restoring creation? So that's what Eco Church is about. So I'm just going to give it some examples now. So if we go to the next slide. So Eco Church What is it? It's basically playing our role in restoring creation. St. Christopher's has been doing lots of different things for years, and all this was a framework to try and coordinate a bit more what we were doing and try and give us a bit of a plan and some support from what other churches were doing. So it's nothing magic, it's just a useful framework or plan of how you can use what you've got to help restore creation and honour God. So there's a lovely collage done there by children several years ago, and you probably see some of the bullet points, but it's just basically saying we're doing lots of things already. How can we do this in a coordinated way? So the next slide is, and it's really important when we pick people, this is a long-term process. It's taken us 8 years of doing lots of small things well and doing them over several years. So it may not feel like, oh, it doesn't really feel like an eco church. That's because we've been doing things gradually and slowly in the rhythm of the life of the church for the last 8 years. And that's what the assessors are looking for. They're not looking for shiny solar panels or a big sign saying we're an eco church. They're looking for how is it built into what you've got and what you're doing. So over the last 8 years, a whole range of people worked on things such as the lands. We've done a survey of how many species on the land. They were with young people. There's about 88 different species. The next thing is to look at how to manage that space to encourage the wildlife we've got. And it is important because the expectation is there shouldn't be anything here. It's quite an urban area, but there are lots and lots of valuable wildlife and creation here. And the nursery uses it quite frequently to do sort of education. So, next slide. This is the one that everyone gets obsessed with, the buildings. Yes, we have buildings. We've done various audits, we've done thermal imaging, we have a plan in place of what we can do that makes sense for the building. And actually the biggest and most important thing has been switching to what's called green energy tariffs. So it's a tariff that means it's from where possible renewable energy. It costs a bit more, but it's the most cost-effective way of reducing impact. If we're trying to insulate all this, it would cost thousands and thousands of pounds. So we've thought about the most cost-effective way of doing that, and it's changing effectively the tariff. But the good thing is we've got those plans in place. So the Springfield project's having things done, we're having new lighting put in. So there is a plan that over time we can carry on improving the building that makes sense and reduces our impact. Next slide. This is where we scored highest, and it's community. It's because we use our buildings for community use. We have a charity we set up called Springfield Project that does lots of things in this space. It does energy advice, it does cooking advice, it does walking advice, it's about to do cycling. So there's lots of things and within the nursery, environments in the curriculum. So it's a community development charity, being God's love in our community, and also saying, well, within that, what can we do about the environment? And the next one, lifestyle. This is an ongoing one in terms of what's it mean for us. So we've done a while ago a Lent course where people looked at what's it mean, can I make changes? We've done services saying what makes sense for you. And I think a really big emphasis on the lifestyle one, ask God, ask the Holy Spirit. God does not do blanket guilt or judgment. That is not from God. And I hate to say it, being part of the environment movement does guilt a whole lot better than the church does. So think about what you can change, but in a positive way, asking for the Holy Spirit, saying, this is what I've got, this is really difficult, where could I start? What makes sense? And so lots of people have been doing that. And the last slide is just a thank you. So thank you for playing your part in God's creation, restoring things. There's a whole list there you can see of what people have been doing. And you've seen some people at the front. It's a real team effort. So just be really, really encouraged that over 8 years, through a whole range of people in this church, you've played your part in restoring God's creation. There's lots of other work to do. Hannah's going to carry on with some of the actions with support PCC. But just be encouraged that by doing small changes over time as a committed body of believers, we are playing our part in restoring God's creation here in Springfield and making sure about having that bit about the Lord's Prayer as well. So I'm just do one more prayer and then that's it. Okay, just do a closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for the work that's gone on here, and I pray for continued encouragement about the changes you can make for your body of believers in Springfield, using your Holy Spirit to guide them about what next. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.